Welcome to this week's episode of the Let's Get Running podcast. How is the caramel kid over in Austria?
I'm a little chilly. Everyone's
I'm in Amsterdam. It's sunny as hell. It's about 12 degrees. It's nice. We're recording this on a Saturday. It's National Cross Country Day, so we'll have an update about that. But what are you doing in Austria? Yep. What's the plan?
Snowboarding.
Yep. So what's been happening with your snowboarding?
Well, last year when I went snowboarding, I had one pair of goggles and it was like full tint.
Yeah.
So when it was an overcast, I couldn't see.
Yeah.
So I was having this big debate with myself. Oh, should I get like a pair of Oakleys, expensive Oakleys, or just get a pair, you know, cheap pair?
Yeah.
So I went for the cheap pair.
Yeah.
And then for Christmas, someone got me really expensive Oakleys. So I've got three pairs of goggles. So I was like, oh, yes, I've got three pairs of goggles, right?
Yeah.
And then I packed last minute and I forgot all three pairs.
Oh, no.
Right?
Yeah.
So we get here on Thursday
.
And we get at lunchtime. So I think, okay, we can squeeze half a day.
Yeah.
So I'm borrowing my dad's sunglasses and we're on the ski lift and we're looking, you know, when you're on the chairlift and you look down, loads of people usually drop like ski poles and stuff.
Yeah.
Someone had dropped goggles.
Perfect.
And it must have been like 200 meters up from away from the slope.
Yeah.
So I said, oh, we'll come back down. And when I get there, you look after my board and so we came round, I strapped out and I started hiking up the mountain.
Yeah.
And as I'm hiking up, some of the snow was like hip high deep. Like you put your foot down and your leg just disappears. And then I have to crawl out and then I try to walk again. And it took me 20 minutes to do 200 meters, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sweating really bad. I'm thinking, bloody, I've earned these goggles. I've earned them. Yeah. And I get there, and the goggles are pink. And
you're still wearing them, right?
Well, and they're kiddies ones. I was like, oh, man. So I'm coming down and I'm treading in the same footsteps that I've trodden all the way down.
Yeah.
So it takes me like five, I fly down, it takes me like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm literally, I don't know, 10 meters from my board before obviously I go away. And some ski instructor comes up to me and says, oh, thank you very much for getting one of my students' goggles. They dropped it and they were upset. Thank you really much.
You've done a good deed though, Jermaine. That kid there is going to be happy about
his goggles. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Molly's got a mate whose dad's parents had a house in Courchevel, then they lived in Courchevel, right? And they said at the end of the season they used to just go to the bins and they just help themselves. All the rich Russians would be coming and they'd just leave all their stuff in the bin. So he could just help himself. Every year he had like a cellar full of skiing gear. Just some idiot spent too much money and put it up. Crazy. But so obviously you're snowboarding. We've got a half marathon in a couple of weeks. Where's this training happening?
No. It's constructive training. You know, like we had those episodes about mixing out.
Yeah.
Okay. I was doing the same old running. Yeah, I'm trying to spice up my running lap. So that 20-minute hike, that was my heel rep.
Okay, got it. Yeah, got it.
But, and then obviously I'm doing loads of squats because I'm like going down the mountain like I shit my pants, you know, like when you're like squatting down on the board.
So cross-training is on. You're okay with that. That's good.
Yeah. I know, and I have the altitude effect. So I'll be flying.
Okay, perfect.
Flying at the back.
Yeah. And it's your marathon. We're going to talk about half marathons, but this is your half marathon debut. So you can't give any insight on how to run a half marathon because you haven't done one before.
Nope. And my longest Sunday run is at an hour and 10, hour and 20. So...
So we're screwed. But anyway, I've run some half marathons before, so I'll try and give mine. But this morning,
I was gonna say, what were your training?
Oh, it's going good actually. I'm really surprised myself. I did this morning. I for the first time I've sat and thought about my training for a bit, and I've actually written out a plan to the London Marathon, including this big half coming up. And I'm starting to do some of the old training I was doing for the Project 220. That show we did. If you haven't heard that, go back and listen. It was my attempt to run 220 at Frankfurt Marathon. We chronicled that in the podcast. Now, there's a lot of sessions I did, but were given to me by Nate Jenkins, American coach. He talked about Canova's principles. So I've started doing that again, but I'm about 4 weeks behind schedule, right? But last time I was so fit about 6 to 8 weeks out from training, from the marathon, and I got injured an heel, right? So now I'm starting off, and I'm starting a bit later. I'm not quite in shape. So I think I'm going to time it just right. It's looking really, I'm looking confident because I did a session this morning.
So time it right for the half marathon or?
For the marathon, you're doing the for London. Yeah,
in London.
Yeah,
you're doing London.
Yeah, I did 20 miles of the day on Wednesday and I ran it in sub 4 minute Ks. I can't tell what that is in miles. Maybe 6:10s? I can't remember. So I did that and I felt it was not easy, but it was, I felt, yeah, that was good. I'm pleased with that. I was thirsty and stuff, so but I was okay with it. And then this morning, I did these sessions I used to do, which are 20K, but you alternate between marathon pace. For me, if I'm still going for 220, that's 320Ks, and a K float in about 340Ks. And I did every one fine. I hit every one bang on. Even though there's a headwind on the way home and I was knackered, every one was either quicker or bang on 320 or 340. So I was like, I've never before, even in my Frankfurt build-up, when I thought I was really fit, I never managed to do a session and hit it bang on. So I can't believe it. I don't know what's okay. happened. So I'm really happy. This morning was amazing. And I don't know how I'll be tomorrow, but I'm really pleased. Apart from the fact I'm not running the national, which I'm disappointed about, but other than that. But, hey. But thinking, to give some insight to people, obviously Gemma Steele's going to talk a lot about half marathon training in a minute and how she thinks she did really well. But when I ran my best half marathon, which was at Bristol, a few years ago, I was fourth. And it was brilliant because I just started going out with Molly is now my wife. And she was invited. So basically, when you're in the elite field and you go down there and you get a nice hotel and you go to the meal before and there was Kenyans and stuff. And Molly didn't really know my running then. So it was like, she came along and she's like, oh
my God. She thought you was a celebrity.
She thought I was a celebrity.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Nick Anderson came and gave her like a media pass, which meant she could then go anywhere she wanted on the course and do all this thing. And she talked to Malcolm Anderson from Moyo Sports. And she was, it seemed basically like I was a proper elite runner. And she was like, wow, this is something special. And, I think I was really happy because we were just dating and it was going well. And yeah, and I think I ran 66, but 66:40 maybe, I don't know, but it was not, but Bristol's not quick, so I think it's probably, I could probably run a bit quicker when I was in the shape to run a bit quicker, but it was pretty good. But it's basically, I got in a good race, and it was me, John Gilbert, I can't remember who else was in the pack, but we had a good battle, and we pushed each other all the way. But I think at that time what I was doing a lot of like hard tempos, quite long tempos around Victoria Park in East London, and I was just racing myself. Once a week, I'd race myself around there, did 2.5 laps or 3 laps of
like a time trial.
Yeah, yeah. And it got me really fit for half marathon because I was running like 40 minutes, like hard once a week.
Yeah.
Like, really hard. Not just thinking like this morning's an example. I said, I'm going to try and run 320s and 340s. Back then, I was just thinking, right, I'm going to try and smash 40 minutes hard around this park. And that got me in such good shape for the half marathon. I think that, and you just need to get out there and you need to suffer. You need to practice suffering for a period of time. And I think Gemma's going to talk a lot about a bit more in more detail in a minute. But if I had one thing, from my experience, is that suffering, that practice, and that suffering was important. And also, I was so happy at the time. Like when you're relaxed and happy and things are going well in your life, that's going to make you run faster at half marathon. So that's my tip.
In a half marathon, are you going to take any fluids on?
No, I never touch fluids apart from in the marathon. But
because I was thinking it's just not long enough.
No, it's not. No, you don't need anything under an hour and a half. So yeah, I'm not touching it unless it's really hot. But I mean, I only have a sip of water and stuff, and I'm not planning anything special like that.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, it should be cool. But we want to do is we have our section of news before we come in for Gemma. So we want to talk a bit about the national because it's happened. The results are in. We're going to have a chat. Highgate didn't win, I don't think. We're going to have a chat with some people who are there on the day in a minute. They're going to give us a little bit of insight in a quick news section before the Gemma interview. But just headlines. Mohamed, he was the winner of the male national, English national this week. He was Emil Caress, very close race. Emil was having a great season. And third was Carl Avery from Morpeth. That's a bit of a surprise. I think Carl was to be a triathlete. Carl was about when I was running pretty well. So he's hold, he's stayed on, he's running well. There's always a Morpeth Harrier up there, isn't there? Every
we
year.
We need to find out how many people ran. Because, you know, like before there was like over 1,000 runners running.
Yeah.
And I know the numbers have been dwindling.
Yeah.
Well, like
I don't know. I can't find that info. But I know that Adam Hickey, last year's winner, was in fifth. John Miller from Ipswich was in fourth. I don't know a lot of these names because I've sort of moved out of the scene. But Jack Gray in sixth. I know Jack's name. Alex Brecker in seventh. And Omar Mohammed, eighth. Joe Stewart in ninth. And Graham Rush in tenth. So good field. Looks pretty good. Pretty impressive.
And the women?
The women. I'm just going to scroll down through my Twitter. Senior women's, we had a nice, we had the top three were Amelia Hosker-Thornhill from Aldershot, followed by Philippa Wolven from Wickham and Jess Judd, good old Jess. She came in third for Blackburn. And we had a couple of other ones to pick out. Georgia Taylor-Brown was in fourth, Sale Harriers, Louise Moore in fifth, Claire Duck in sixth. So pretty a nice field there, nice one. And they've got the winners of the Scottish Nationals, we featured that in the last show. The male winner was, so the men's podium, Adam Craig was the winner, followed by Kevin Wood, and in third place, Michael Christofferou. He was in third. And for the women, good applause from Jermaine there. The women's race, let's have a look. We had Eloise Walker, Erin Wallace in second, and Naomi Lang. But we're going to have a little bit of a report from people who were there on the day. I know for the Welsh National, I've got the winners of the Welsh National here. They were the women, the Welsh National, Dami Griffiths mix. I think it was his eighth or ninth title in a row. And the women's winner was Jenny Nesbitt. So some great results there from those Nationals. And we will have a report from guys on the scene in English National. And that will follow before the interview with Gemma. So here we go. So for this week's show, we're going to talk about the national cross country, and we're going to talk about it with the Tunbridge team manager, reigning champions before the weekend, and a presenter of the Trackside podcast. Been a while now. You mentioned Mark since the last one, but you're still the presenter. And we were just talking off air, and I was saying you're the guy that I always look to for results on Twitter. If anyone needs to find a result, look on Mark's Twitter profile. What's your Twitter handle called, Mark?
It's just simply Mark Hookway, M-A-R-K, and then Hookway,
okay.
H-O-O-K-W-A-Y. Yeah.
So it should be Mark Hookway, the oracle of results, is what it should say.
Well, that's not my main purpose in life. But if I'm going to an event, I know how much I appreciate getting some feedback from others, which I don't attend. So I'll try and, if I'm at an event, I'll try and do what I can to keep people informed, because I know there's a lot of passionate people in the sport, and yeah, it's quite a good community from that point of view. So, and our sport's not great sometimes. It's publicising itself, is it? So
that's very true.
It's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I certainly appreciate it here from Amsterdam. I if ever I need anything, it's always good to look. But you had a good weekend. It was an enjoyable race over in Leeds this weekend.
Well, I mean, I think quite a few people realise Tunbridge do take it quite seriously. We years ago, we used it as a sort of focal point for the season, because you can generate a really good club spirit. Because I think, yeah, it's really the main championship where you've got the 10 different age groups, haven't you? 10 different championships for each age group. And
yeah,
so we make a real weekend of it. Yeah, when it's up north or in the Midlands, and we travel up on the Friday, stay in a hotel, and then after the race, we have a dinner with an awards ceremony, and then a bit of a dance afterwards, and then we come back on the Sunday, and you know, we take probably 250 people in total. You know, wow. And we have about 200 attending at the hotel. So it takes a bit of organising, but there's nothing quite like it. It's just such a great event.
Yeah.
And you see so many old friends and other club members there, you know, from other clubs, you know, yeah, competing with each other. So it's something unique, really.
Yeah,
you know?
Fantastic. And any embarrassing stories you can reveal from the dance floor? Who's the Tunbridge Twinkle Toes?
No. Yes. Yeah. I mean, we're now at a stage. We've been many years. You know, we had the boys who won the under 13 title many, many years ago, but now in the senior men's race. And it's quite nice doing I know this 10-year challenge is about. We've been able to do a 12-year challenge, you know, and what they look like now with their facial hair, tattoos, piercings, and all sorts, which they didn't have when they were under 13. But the highlight of the evening is, in fact, we have a coach driver who's taken us to trips for the same company for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And his name's Jock, real broad Scotsman he is. And this year he brought his girlfriend and he decided to propose to her on the dance floor in front of all the Tunbridge AC contingent. Yeah. And that was quite a shock, but very, very nice.
And she said yes?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes,
good.
She said yes. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. So what about the main action? What was, looking at the two main races, the senior men's and the senior women's, what was your, let's look at the senior men's, I guess, first. What kind of went down? What was the main taking for you from the race?
Well, of course, Leeds won them both. The women's was very close. And the men's, they won quite convincingly. We could tell very early on they were going to beat Tunbridge. We were probably in second place. So, but yeah, they did really well. And it clearly meant a lot to them as well, which is nice to see, because we know how much it meant to us when we won the men's title. So
seeing
a group of people that work and train together, you know, get together and win a title and really enjoy it and savour it. I think that's what the championship's about. So, fair play to them. It was good to see.
And from an individual's perspective, is Mohamed took the win. Was he always up there in control of the race, or was he a bit of a surprise?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. Yeah. He was very much him and Emil Caress from Leeds, who'd won the Northern title.
Yeah.
Of course, and also had won the Bucks title.
Mm.
They were both locked together. And I suspect, like other observers, I felt the same, that coming down to the home straight and a sprint finish, it was going to be Emil that was going to win it, because I've seen him finish like lightning a few times. But somehow Mohamed held him off and sneaked the win.
Oh,
and
wow.
In fact, it's probably never happened before, but the first two were the same the first two this year in the seniors were the first two from the junior race last year.
Oh, right. Wow. So the juniors really took it to him.
It must be a one-off, although Mohamed won the junior by about a minute last year from Emil Caress. So, but I doubt that's ever happened. You know, that's incredible.
Yeah.
So,
and how close was Brand? Bronze, right?
A little way back, about 20, 30 seconds, something like that. Carl Avery, who, from Morpeth.
Yeah.
So, and some new names appearing, like John Miller from Ipswich was fourth.
Yeah.
The guy with the flowing locks, which people would recognise, but he's represented England a few times this year, and he's come through the ranks and is competing with the top ones. And then we had Adam Hickey and Jack Gray were the next two home.
Yeah.
So, Adam won last year, didn't he?
Yeah, Ipswich guy, that was funny because I didn't recognise his name, but then now you say, was he third at the juniors last year? Because I remember he was wearing like big like board shorts, like really long running shorts.
It wasn't
like, he didn't look like a runner at all, but he was obviously pretty talented. Wow, so he's
well, I assume he works really hard because he's really come on strong this year, particularly. So,
fantastic. And where was the first Tunbridge finisher?
Well, funny enough, it's Ben Cole, who was 13th, who is our oldest member of the team. And he's been with the club about 18 years now. And he seems to get better and better with age. He's in his early 30s, and he was the first one. Henry Pierce, who won the Southern title, was 17th. Henry had a bad spell in the middle of the race, but then rallied and came through a bit.
Yeah.
So we still packed quite well, but it was just not good. I think all six scorers were in 51. But
all six in 51. That's like... most years, that would have won the title, wouldn't it, really?
I think so. I mean, we definitely got far fewer points than we did when we won it 2 years ago, when it was a real surprise to us. So, you just never know, do you? It really depends, what other clubs have got out and how they go about it. You just never know for sure what could happen. That's what makes it quite exciting, but... Yeah, it was pretty obvious as we went on, unless Leeds had some backup as well. We were the first two teams in the nine to score as well.
Oh, okay, right.
And they just beat us in that. So they had the depth there as well. So it would have taken more than perhaps one person to drop out to swing it our way.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what about the women then? What happened in the women's race?
Well, the women's race, typically Jess Judd set off with... quite a lot of determination and was leading early on.
Yeah.
and then there was there was quite a group there, but Emily Hosker Thornhill and Pippa Wolven broke away later on, with Emily winning it.
Yeah.
I think that's the first time she's won it. I think she was fourth at Nottingham a couple of years ago.
Okay.
So it's always nice when somebody takes a championship like that for the first time, isn't it? It's good to see. And then Pippa Wolven, who's obviously been running really well, she won the Southern by miles a few weeks ago. And then Jess Judd battled hard, as she always does, and came in third with Georgia Taylor Brown, who's the triathlete, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who's fourth. Yeah.
From Sale.
I've seen so much of her over the last year or so. So she came through. And then two championship sort of supporters, Louise Small from Aldershot.
Yeah.
And Claire Duck from Leeds were the next two home.
Yeah.
So,
and was the team race pretty close as well? Or did the...
Yeah, no, it was close. Leeds won by 3 points from Aldershot. So very, very close.
Wow.
And then Norwich a little bit behind. And then Tunbridge, we're pleased to say that's our best ever. We were fourth. So
great. Second and fourth, not a bad day's work.
No, very good. Yeah.
And what about the course itself? Was it quite a good? Was it a good country course? Was it quite challenging for the guys? And plenty hilly enough and tough conditions.
I don't know if you've heard about what the conditions were like. It was like a spring day.
Oh, really?
Really warm, 15, 16 degrees, not too windy, very dry underfoot. So from that point of view, great. I don't know what the course would have been if it had been more inclement with snow or rain or high winds, because it's pretty open up there.
Right.
But a real testing course, lots of hills, not a lot of flat.
Yeah.
You could see for a long, long way. So if you had a pair of binoculars, you could follow a lot of the race quite well. The senior men's was two laps, which I think is quite good in a way, because you haven't got all the problems of lap runners.
Yeah.
So I think that helped.
Yeah.
From what I've seen on social media and heard on the day, people loved it. They really loved the venue. It's Harewood House near Leeds, a historic sort of big house there with the open grounds, very scenic. And perfect. There was lots of sort of facilities, you know, toilets, food stalls.
Great.
The marshals were really good. It was extremely well organized. So,
great.
Yeah, a big very good up. Event and a good venue. I think people would, that's the first time it's been there, isn't it? But I think people were saying, great place to have it. And yeah, went down very well.
Great. And was there, to finish us off, was there any other highlights, performance from the day? Did any particular outstanding victories in the scene in the junior men's or the junior women's races?
Well, Amelia Quirk won the under 20 women's race, and Rory Leonard won the under 20 men's. Both reasonably convincingly in the end. And I know Rory's father was a really good athlete, and I think he's Morpeth, and he's going off to the States next year, so we won't see him probably next year. But both of them have been around for a while now, but establishing themselves. But some really good competitive running throughout, really. So
excellent.
Yeah, very enjoyable day.
Yeah, great. Yeah. And do you have some videos you said you're going to put on YouTube?
They're all up now. I've just finished them, actually, because we didn't get back till late Sunday.
Yeah.
Two of us take some footage, I merge it together, and post it up on YouTube. Again, look out for Mark Hookway, or you can go via the link at tacdistancerunners.com, which is our website we use for the clubs. Distance runners.
Perfect.
And I've put it out on Twitter and Facebook, so
excellent,
you can find it there. But all 10 races, there's something of there, so we did the best we can, again, because I know people appreciate seeing it who aren't there.
Yeah, very much so. Excellent. Well, I'll put some links up, actually, to direct people that way, so if they look on the show notes, they'll be able to see it there. Lovely stuff.
Okay, great.
Well, fingers crossed next year is going to be more successful for Tunbridge, maybe even get on on both podiums. We'll see.
Well, apparently it's, I believe, the 22nd of February next year, and it's at Wallerton Park, Nottingham.
Okay. And perhaps Jock and his partner can get married at the National.
Oh, don't suggest that to me.
Nice one. Thanks for chatting, Mark. Cheers.
Okay, Sean. Thanks
Cheers.
A lot.
Just...
Cheers. Bye.
On this week's show, we are talking to the third fastest British female marathon, half marathon runner of all time, Gemma Steele. How are you doing, Gemma?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Yeah, how are you?
Very well, very well. I'm getting ready for the big half, so I'm in need of your advice and tips to get myself ready. And you're not sure if you're going to be competing yourself at that race?
I think the general feeling is I will be, but there's always a chance that I might not be.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm entered for both races, so yeah, the intercounty saw that one, but I'm in favour of that one at the minute.
Have you done the big half before?
No, I didn't get invited to it last year. I think it was mostly for the marathon runners for the London Marathon. So for me not falling into that bracket, I think I missed the invite. But yeah, been invited this year, so that's nice.
Yeah, fantastic. And how is the training going at the moment?
Yeah, I think I'm just coming off the back of a cold. I've managed to avoid it till now, but 2 weeks ago I came down with the dreaded cold, and yeah, I'm just building back up really. Did some mile reps on Tuesday, getting back down to a reasonable pace, 5:10 a mile, so yeah, all on the road as well, so yeah, just building it back up really.
Great.
Yeah.
And when's, looking at the course of your year, when's the important parts of the season for you? Do you have like a peak of races that you do, or for track athletes obviously the summer, for cross country athletes the winter, when's your main period of competition?
I think it's generally in the autumn, really, and in the winter for me. And yeah, mainly May time as well. I get some big races in May, but yeah, it's not a typical season for me. It's like I'm not a track runner, so
yeah,
it's quite unusual to be. Yeah, I'm getting fit in the winter. Usually, I'm at my peak in the winter, and then by the time it's the spring, I've still got that form. And then by the time it's summer, I sort of fall off a little bit then, and then build back up in the autumn. So. Yeah, it's quite unusual, really. But...
yeah. And what are you aiming for at the moment? Have you got a major goal you're looking towards over the next couple of years?
Well, I think 2020, I think I'll be focusing hopefully on the European half marathon and things like that. Unless I have the bravery to venture onto the track and have a little go at it. Yeah, I think with a half marathon not being in the Olympics, it puts me in a little bit of a, you know, dilemma really, what to do. And I'm not really marathon inclined at the minute. I'm not really that focused on running a marathon. So
yeah,
it just leaves me in a little bit of a limbo really, just with what to do. But with a half marathon being in the Commonwealth, you know, having a Commonwealth half marathon now and being in the European Championships as well, it gives me a bit more of more of something to really.
Yeah. And has there been any talk of it being included as an Olympic event, or is it a long way from the table?
I don't know. I'm just frustrated really that it's not in the Olympics. I'm just waiting for the day really, but
yeah,
I don't know if there's any talk of it, but yeah, it's in the Commonwealth. They've got a separate event for that now. I don't know if they'll introduce it into the main Commonwealth Games or what, but that will be the next best thing to me, to have it in the Commonwealth Games, in the official Commonwealth Games.
There's talk of breakdancing being in this year's Olympics. If they can have breakdancing, they can have half marathon. Surely there's it's a bigger sport than breakdancing, surely. But
yeah, I'm gonna have to change tact, I think.
So 2020, we're gonna see you head sliding and that sort of thing, windmilling.
Yeah, well, I love dancing, so you never know.
Yeah. And it's been a pretty amazing career today. I've got a list of all your achievements, particularly being European cross country champion in 2014. Like I said before, you're the fastest or the third fastest female UK female ever at half marathon. Is that 10K as well? You're the third fastest. Is that?
Yeah, 10K as well. Yeah, on the road. So
is incredible. Like to think, you know, all these people that have competed over the distance, that you are the third fastest. Like, how do you continue to be motivated to keep doing it? What drives you now?
I think it's probably that frustration really, that none of my events have been in the Olympics. For saying like I'm probably the fastest person to never be in the Olympics, but yeah, there's still that hope there that maybe one day I'll transition, but I just haven't found my little niche yet in the to get there. But
yeah,
it's always the dream that's eluded me really, and I think that's always there motivating me in the back of my mind. But Yeah, I think little things like being second in the Great North Run twice and coming close to actually, well, not close, but
Yeah.
within 3 minutes of Meritani.
Yeah.
Yeah, like winning in a way because she was so far in front, but
Yeah.
things like that just drive me on, really. And I just think, well, could go one better one day if I keep going. You never
Yeah.
know. Because I started at 8, I could be still going when I'm 40. I could be at my peak when I'm 40. So you never know.
Yeah, absolutely. And is I mean, you've tried the track. How did you why do you stay away from that now? Is it just you just didn't feel like it was you?
Yeah, I just didn't enjoy it, to be honest. I just felt like running around in circles isn't really my thing. And I think with the tactics as well, I think with the road, it's just you're there on the road. It's nothing, no tactics involved, really. You're just there running,
Yeah.
you know, straight line. You don't have to sit in, tuck behind anyone. It's just you against the clock and you against yourself, really. And everyone around you, just you don't think about everyone around you, to be honest.
Yeah. So
But yeah.
you prefer really like a good out, get that out, get on the front and just run hard and see where it goes.
Yeah, I think that's what I'd have to do on the track, really, if I did go for it. But it's not the way people run. Like, I'd probably be able to do that, but I just haven't got that kick on the last lap. I'd just be. I've never done it from a young age, so
Yeah.
I only started when I was 19. So, yeah, it's quite surreal, really, to be in the position that I'm in, really, to have achieved what I've achieved.
But not gone to the Olympics. Yeah. And how, speaking about that, so getting into running, how did you get into running originally?
I started originally down at the Hermitage Leisure Centre,
Yeah.
just down the road from me. It's like a local leisure centre, so I went down there completely as an amateur. Not even 6 minute mile off, probably more like 7 minute mile off.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, 19, and I met my partner at the time. He introduced me to road races. It was about running 40 minutes for 10K, you know, straight into road running. Just got the bug for it, really, and then knocked a minute off every
Wow.
year. Down to 6 minute mile in, so I did that. Thought that was the limit, really, and then so, yeah, the rest is history, really. I got down to 5 minute mile in.
Wow. And so just you went to a local running group. It wasn't particularly, and it wasn't a club or anything.
Yeah, they weren't well known at the time. They were just a new running club, Hermitage Harriers. So they were founded in 2005 and I joined in 2006, so they'd only been going for a bit, not very long. And then yeah, I started winning local races down there, and you know, Leicestershire Road Running League races and things like that. And I would have been happy at the time just to win those sort of races, to be honest, and
Yeah, wow. So
partner.
what year did you start again? Sorry, what year was it?
Then 2005,
Wow, so by 2011 did you medal at the European Championships?
yeah, I was third in the Eurocross.
Whoa,
Yeah.
that's some from starting running to medaling in the Eurocross in 6 years is amazing. And
Yeah,
what is
yeah. Well, I
it
thought championships was good. I thought winning the county championships was an achievement. So, yeah.
Wow. And there must be something then. What is it that suits, what is it about you that suits running then, do you think?
I think it's just that freedom that I get from it, and just that there's nothing cute or fancy about it. You just put one foot in front of the other and it's just out the door. You know, it clears my mind. It's just part of my everyday routine, really. I think I just find it, yeah, it frees my mind. I can think more clearly afterwards. I've got that competitive, you know, me against myself, and you know, no one's you don't rely on anyone, you just rely on yourself, and that sense of yeah, satisfaction, independence as well,
Yeah.
and that you get from it, and just yeah, just the whole thing about it, really, that grind, that sense
Yeah.
of achievement as well, yeah.
Yeah. And so you said about you kind of maybe lack a kick, you lack a bit of speed for that final lap. What are your strengths, do you think, as a runner?
I think it's just over the years, it's just been me stubbornness, I think, and that just wanting to prove people wrong, really, because, like, yeah, I've run against track runners in the cross country, and I beat quite a few of them. So I think it's like trying to show them who's boss in the room, at what I'm good at,
Yeah.
and finding my niche, and you know, being able to It's sort of like, yeah, make my mark really on things. I think that's what's been driving me, and that sense of, yeah, like I say, putting a stamp on things and getting the records over the years, like the fastest 10K and half marathon, things like that really that's been driving me on. And yeah, just a bit of an obsessive quality, I suppose, that all runners
And
yeah, not gonna lie.
you say you have no sprint, but in 2014, I remember the race, you won in a sprint finish, didn't you? You and Kate Avery down to the last like meter.
Yeah, I did develop quite a sprint finish at that time. I don't know where it came from. Obviously, I came from a sprinting background when I was younger. So yeah, it was obviously in there somewhere, and I just obviously tapped into it and rediscovered it at the time. But yeah, that's something that I need to discover again, I think, somehow. But
And when did you notice that you, obviously you said you county championships you thought was big. When did you suddenly think, hang on, I'm good, I'm really good at this. I can actually properly make a career from this. When was that point?
well, I think it was probably the Great South Run actually in 2010. Yeah, so I'd sort of been off on, well, sort of knocking on the door, but not quite running. I'd ran for England, but I hadn't quite ran for Great Britain. And then I was running 33 minutes for 10K, so I stepped into this half marathon, well, 10 mile race at the Great South, and ended up running like 53, 44, and going through 10K like my PB pace. So it just was quite brave of me to do, but I just trusted myself, and I think I just managed to keep the pace going, and that just made me realise, yeah, I can keep this pace going the same as what I can for 10K for 10 miles. So yeah, there was something there that day, and people started to recognise me.
Did you win
And
that race then?
no, I was only fifth, but I beat quite a few big names. I won the English Championships, so yeah, I beat a few big names like Steph Twell and people like that, I think, and a few established runners at the time. So yeah, to do that was put me on the map a little bit internationally. So
And how did you take that on then? So the confidence you gained from that race, how did it change your approaches in later races?
I think I just, well, I went from there. I thought, oh, I could, yeah, that's what inspired me to go for the Great Britain Vest then in the European Cross Country Trials, and I got a third place there. But I was still doing like basic club running training at the time. I was still doing like the maximum of 800 meter reps,
Really?
and probably six of them at the most. So basic club runners training, 12 times 400 meters, 8 times 600, like 12 times 200, and things like that, just really basic. And just to get to that level, no one could quite believe that I'd got to, been able to run that time off that sort of training. So it was probably just, well, natural, well, say natural talent, but obviously I'd not overdone it in the early years. I'd just done it progressively, and I'd just, yeah, come out of nowhere really. So
And so how did you change him? When was the point you started to become a bit more focused and perhaps some more individually coached?
Wasn't till like 2011, I think, after I qualified for Great Britain, and I finished 27th in the first European Cross Country Championships. On my debut, I thought, wow, that was fast. And then Liz McColgan was the team manager at the time, and she looked at my training, and she couldn't believe that I'd managed to qualify for the training that I've been doing. So she just looked at it and saw the potential, and she's just said, well, would you consider joining John Nuttall's group in Loughborough and changing coaches? But it was quite hard for me to do at the time because I was quite loyal to my coach. But, yeah, I just went with my gut instinct, and I put myself, I made that transition and in this professional setup at Loughborough. And yeah, I just changed my attitude really, because I was had to change my mindset and think, well, I can't be racing every weekend. I have to put in blocks of training, which was like quite hard for me to do at the time, because like, I just love racing so much. And yeah, just, well, it's now or never. I've got to see what I can do. And Liz Colgan believes in me, so yeah.
If someone that great believes in you, you've got to believe them, I guess, haven't you?
Yeah, and yeah, I didn't quite believe it at the time, but yeah, she said you can go far with this. And yeah, the next year I won the bronze medal, so
Yeah.
the three there, wasn't it?
Well, what specifically changed in your training? What from those regular club sessions, how did she or how did John and Liz change your training to bring out those extra performances in you?
I think it was just like more volume and intensity in my training, and more structured training, which I hadn't had before. Yeah, just a tempo runs, doing tempo runs before a session and things like that. Just like, I've never heard of before. I've never even heard of a tempo run. So yeah, this was all new to me, and they just yeah put me on the right path really with it all, because my coach never really said my like thought of my potential or anything. I've told of I could achieve great things and things like that early on. So yeah, I suppose it's just came out of the blue, really. Showed the right people noticing and support and things. Yeah, it can all change, really.
And so did you then become at Loughborough, were you then able to things like your diet and your sort of strength and conditioning, did you have more focus on those additional extra things as well?
I wouldn't say I was even doing any strength and conditioning at the time. I was just doing Pilates down at the leisure centre. Yeah, really. Yeah, I just stuck to what I, knew, and the nutrition had always been quite good. Not, yeah. So, yeah, I
Just
wouldn't
get
say I
them.
was really taking it too seriously then. But I think with the fact that I was just enjoying it, and no pressure on me, and I think that went a long way, really.
Yeah, fantastic. So obviously we mentioned at the beginning you are kind of the a fantastic your for half marathon is your distance. And we're doing a battle of the podcast. We're racing off against a couple of podcasts. Me and my co-host Jermaine are running and then some guys in from American podcasts. We're trying to see which podcast the fastest. So we're trying to run a great half marathon. And obviously you're one of your greatest performances. You talked about the Great South Run, sorry, the Great North Run and coming second there. But were you seventh at the World Championships of Half Marathon in 2012? Is that right?
So I was seventh at Kavana in Bulgaria
Oh,
in
nice.
2012. So yeah, I was coming off the back of disappointment, really, of not being in the Olympics. So I had put quite a lot into trying to qualify on the track, but it all sort of fell apart when I got ill after altitude training. So I sort of had to reassess my goals and think, well, that went didn't yeah I didn't achieve that one. So I just had to think, well, I'll just put everything into this one race, and this will be my Olympics. So yeah, I just thought of it like that, really. And yeah, I managed to finish seventh. I just worked my way through the field from about, what was it, probably about 20th place. It was really day, really humid, so I ran a really sensible race. And yeah, I managed to finish like non-African seventh. Yeah, just out sprinting a Japanese runner on the line, so that was nice as well.
And have you since you had that illness at altitude, have you been back to altitude? Has it put you off going?
I've never been back since, no.
Okay, right. It was enough. And what was it? Do you know what it was, the illness?
I think because I was that fit at the time, going up there, I sort of just trained as I usually would. So I didn't respect the altitude enough. I was running quicker than ever. Basically, I was keeping Paula Radcliffe
Really?
up the mountain. I was running 5 minute miling for mile reps on the track. And then in the last week, I sort of dug a hole for myself. I think I just came down with some kind of cold or virus or whatever. I just didn't seem to recover. I wasn't the same for like 3 months after that. So
Oh, jeez.
yeah, I still managed to run a 32 and a half on the track for 10K, but at the time, I was running like 31 shape, 30, 31 and a half, I'd thought. So it's quite disappointing, really.
Sort of looking at your strengths for half marathons, so obviously you came seventh in that championship, but you've gone on to run a number of great half marathons. Why, what is it about half marathon that particularly suits you, do you think?
I think it's just that it's not too far, but it's just far enough, really, for me. You can have your drink at about 8 miles and you can just tuck in, and the race doesn't start till 8 miles, then you've got 5 miles to go. But it's just that fine line, you know, not overcooking it too early on.
Yeah.
Otherwise you're struggling the last 3 miles. But yeah, I think it's just that fine line and just judging it right. And I've sort of gone through the years and I've sort of mastered the art of it. Near
yeah.
enough.
Yeah.
By now, I've gone from like a 1:31 marathon, half marathon for my first one.
Yeah.
No, 1:26, sorry, was my first one.
Yeah.
And it's just chipped away at it, really. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think that's experience then, you think, rather than kind of any specific kind of like strength in your training or your sort of physiology?
Well, I think my physiology suggested that my lactic acid doesn't go up very much while I'm running
right.
at the time. Mm. So we did test stuff and mine showed up very low lactic, whatever it is, build up after running. So like it hardly increased at all,
right?
Basically. So I think that was a clue really to say that I could probably run through 10K at the same pace as what I could just keep the pace going.
Wow.
At the time. So it probably like that's probably why I could just carry on doing 10k pace all the way through.
And is that natural or is it something you've worked on through tempos and things?
Not really, no, because I wasn't really doing any tempo.
Oh, really?
I'd only been doing tempo runs for a year at the time.
Wow.
I've been testing. I don't know. It's still kind of...
So what is your training? If you've got this big half coming up in a couple of weeks, what are your key sessions in your build up for that half marathon race?
Well, I think the key session for me is probably just like 3 mile reps, probably like four of those. Probably just starting off at 6 minute mile in, down to 5:45s, 5:30s, then 5:15s.
Yeah.
Ideally, if I can get to that pace, this was a set session that I did before the Great North Run. that's probably a good marker for me to see if I can try and hit those.
What's your recovery? And the other question is what's your goal race pace for that?
For the half?
Yeah.
Well, it's moved a bit now. I'd say about 5:20, 5:25 at the minute, maybe.
Yeah. And then what recoveries do you take between each of those reps?
You mean for the mile reps?
Yeah. Well, 3 mile reps.
I was doing like 5:10s the other day.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think you've got to run about 10 seconds quicker than your goal pace.
Okay.
10 to 15 seconds, I think they say. So,
yeah, okay.
That's about right for me at the minute. So, yeah.
And that was the same for sort of the you mentioned about the 3 mile reps. Was that, what recovery were you taking between each of those?
Probably just a minute.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. So it's basically just you've got to get used to the grind. You've got to get out there and you've got to get used to, sustaining that pace.
Yeah. I think it's all about training your lactic threshold, really.
Fantastic. Yeah. And looking sort of mentally, like coming into like half marathons, you said you have a drink at about 8 miles. What is that drink? Is it a carb drink or just a water?
It's got a few like electrolytes in it and it's just a high five sports drink basically with a bit of like sugary stuff in. So like the Great North Run, not when I ran my PB, but a couple of years ago when I ran 71.5, I carried it with me for 2 miles after 8 miles. So
really?
it was almost just like a security thing really, because the confidence wasn't really there, but I had the bottle, so I had that sense of whether it helped me or not, I don't know, but
and are you a person that kind of throws
half marathon? I think it's not essential, but for me it's just that mental boost, I think.
And are you someone who likes to go through a similar mental like preparation or do the same things? Like have that kind of like that the confidence of having the drink. Do you like to have a routine about your running and your preparation?
Not really, because I don't think you can really. You can't predict what's going to happen in a race. Really, you have to have different scenarios that you can expect, really. I think you've got to have a few plan A, plan B. You know, you can't just predict what's going to happen, really, can you? So,
no.
Yeah. But I think just going through the motions early on, I like to just not, you know, tuck in for the first at least 5 miles.
Yeah.
The race doesn't start till 8 miles. So, yeah, I think just conserving energy, really, and just, yeah, just taking it easy early on.
Yeah. But, okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And sort of looking back over your kind of your career, and you mentioned, you know, at 2012 you're in 31 shape and you're feeling fantastic. Is there races or periods when you felt in amazing shape and like you were absolutely peak of your powers? Do you remember any periods like that?
Yeah, I think it was probably the Beach Beacon 10K in Maine.
Yeah.
That year when I, yeah, 2014, I think, had a great race with Shalane Flanagan.
Yeah.
And I just felt so, like, yeah, dangerous early on. I was just, like, tucked in behind her, just went ready to pounce, really, yeah. Almost feeling so comfortable. It was just, like, gliding along behind. And, yeah, I just felt really, yeah, invincible, really.
Yeah.
That race really sticks out in my mind because I knew every... I've been second the year before and I knew every corner on the course. I knew every turn, every, you know, where I could save time and things like that. And I think just little things like that really helped me to win because I only won by literally not even a second in the end. So like just things like that, it just all came together perfectly. And I just knew that I had to, you know, I got every turn right, kept myself out of trouble, like fighting for every stride almost.
Yeah,
it was just really, really great to beat a legend such as her. Like, she's a great track runner.
Yeah.
And to win in a tactical race as well was just like the sprint finish. I think, yeah, it was like, it's really stood out to me.
Yeah.
And the photos at the end was just like,
yeah. Fantastic. And given Shalane, you know, she's obviously a great marathon runner. So does your future lie in the marathon? Would you ever give it a go? Is it something you're considering?
Yeah, I think for me, it's more of a mental approach. Like, I know physically I could probably do it, but I think with me being not starting, like I've only just got to grips with the half marathon.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to get to grips with the half marathon. So maybe it's just the fact that I've, like, took a long time. You know, I'm a late starter and I'm sort of still finding my feet, really. I think, yeah, people think I'm really experienced, but like, not really. I've not been doing this since I've been a junior, so
yeah,
it's quite surreal, really, to think, you know, I think people try to push me into it too soon almost.
Yeah. Okay.
But I could be, who knows, I could be running and when I'm 40, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
there was a Romanian lady, wasn't there? She was winning Olympics in her 40s in the marathon, so you just never know.
You never know.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And where are you? I've got to ask, where are you? Where do you live now? What's your training setup? Are you still back in Loughborough?
Yeah, I'm still at Loughborough, but I'd like to expand my horizons a little bit more in the future.
Yeah.
Been out to, like, sampled, like, training out in Doha and things like that. But I've never been out to Kenya or anywhere, but I think I like to stick to my routine and, you know, I'm quite comfortable here. I know my routes. I've got my nice little blocks that I run around and, yeah, things like that, but. Yeah, I think we're creatures of habit sometimes, like runners. So
I basically do this. I live here in Amsterdam, and I do the same, pretty much the same route every day. And I get lots of stick on Strava for doing straight lined routes across through Amsterdam. But I know I don't have to think about where I'm going. I could just concentrate on a running. So it helps you. It gives you a bit more focus, I reckon, to know what you're doing. But
yeah, anyway, you can just switch off, can't you? You're not like looking around at the scenery, are you? Just getting the job done, you know.
Exactly, exactly. Fantastic. Yeah. On that note, I've got three quick fire questions, actually. The first question will be an interesting one, given what you just said, but it's quick fire. Everyone gets to ask the same questions that we interview. And the first question is, if you could be anywhere running now, where would it be?
Probably be in Brazil, somewhere like that.
Yeah. Somewhere warm, Long Beach. Yeah, sounds good. Yeah,
long promenade, you know, out and back. That'll suit me.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, nice cocktail afterwards or something. Perfect.
Yeah, Yeah. Straight on the beach.
Second question is, can you recommend us something? So it can be an experience, something we should do, or it can be a book or film or something physical like that.
I'd recommend dancing, or you know, ballroom dancing maybe.
Okay, right. Nice.
Salsa dancing.
Maybe break dancing now with the Olympics coming.
Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah, it's, like I say, it's going to be the Olympics, breakdancing, so it might be the way forward. Yeah. And it's great for your posture, keeps you on your toes. It's great for your, you know, for relaxation, for your spirit and everything as well. So, yeah.
It's a good one.
It's great for runners. Great. I'd recommend it.
And what the final one is, what, in your opinion, is the best performance, running performance in history?
Oh, that's easy. Paula Radcliffe, definitely. Yeah, the world record. Yeah, fantastic. I think that's an opening.
Yeah, I think if I totted all the answers to that question up through the podcast, it was at about 75 now, 76, and I think that would be overwhelmingly, that is the number one answer, because it's just a great performance, you can't deny. So great stuff. Good luck with your remaining training for either the half or the intercounties. The intercounties, are they taking a team to the World Cross Country this year? They are, aren't they?
Yeah, well, this is what's thrown it all in the spanner in the works, really, because like if they weren't taking the team, I'd probably think no, definitely not. But then there's part of me that wants to run for Great Britain again, and you know, experience the, you know, going to, if I could qualify, it'd be great. But also, so running all that Mordic Press World 10K, it's just not. It's not. Yeah, I've lost those shoes there before, so
okay.
It's not my finest moment. Yeah, it'd be like facing my demons, really, I suppose, running around there. And if I could keep my shoes on, that'd be even better.
Well, fantastic. Well, good luck if you go for that. And if not, we'll hopefully see you at the half, and good luck with that, or the big half, and good luck with that. So, yeah, look forward to seeing your performances soon. So some great tips there from Gemma, some great running at the National Cross, and a good report there from our man on the scene. Now, if you are thinking of running a half marathon in March and you want to represent us in the Battle of the Podcast, get on to Strava.
We need you.
We need you.
Because I ain't Kyle. We need you.
As you can hear, Jermaine is running. He's basically trekking to find children's glasses. That's all he's doing.
Hey, that sounds dodgy. That sounds dodgy,
but that's all he is doing. So we need some help from you. We need some help from you to push us over the line and to become the fastest podcast. So get on it. Sign up to Battle of the Podcast. Again, I will actually put a lot of tweets out about it. So if you look on my Twitter profile, let Alex Get Running, or our Twitter profile, you will see a link to the Strava group. Sign up and declare your interest in running and competing for Let's Get Running. We will have a consignment of vests coming up soon. If you want to wear the vest, then you can buy one. And I will announce when those new vests are ready, produced by Ron Hill, and that will be really good. So please do that.
Is there any discounts?
There's going to be a discount.
Buy two, get one half price or something.
Well, we'll have a think about that. Yeah, I'll think about that. The margins are small, people. We're not making money out of those vests. We're just trying to sell them. We're not making money.
I have to look after the people, you know.
Yeah, we do, yeah. People who join in, do you know that? But yeah, if you want a vest, I'd love you to compete in the vest.
And the free T-shirt we gave out?
Oh, yeah. We forgot about that. Callum McGraw, he won that. He won
What did he throw?
He put out a fist. We did a Twitter, Stone, Paper, Scissors. He sent a fist as a DM to me. And James Eckloff, sorry, James, he put the scissors. So he is a defeated man. It was cracking. It was very good. It was fun. So that was good stuff. So yeah, that was Callum's T-shirt should be on his way to him. Hopefully he'll send us a photo of that lovely T-shirt that he won. And yeah, get on with it. Get out there. Get training. Half marathons are calling.
Have we had any reviews yet?
Yes, we've had a review.
Wait a minute. Let's take a moment, because we've been on a barren spell for 2 weeks.
We've been on a barren spell. Here we go. So the review was from a lovely man called Scott. Scott said, "Top interviews with no faff." So we only have an hour a week, but we think an hour's enough. Do you know what I mean? We don't want any more than an hour. I'm bored by more than an hour. So he says, thanks to Jermaine
okay.
and Sean, who continue to pull off top interviews and running related advice with a sense of humour and don't take themselves too seriously. Brilliant podcast. What you haven't realised there, Scott, is I take myself very, very seriously. So we're giving off the wrong image.
So at least we... Well, I don't. So we balance each other out then.
So it works out nice. But yeah, thanks for that. That's a good one from you, Scott. That's nice to have a review. Anyone else would like to send a review? We'd love them on iTunes because that helps us build our profile.
One a week is more than enough. You know?
More than enough. I'd like 20 a week, but who knows? We'll always read them out. We like to have them. And funny ones always get read out.
The best, we want the really good hashtag names, don't we?
Alias. We do. Hashtag a good aliases, always get rid of that. Mo Farah's socks was one. We've got a few other ones. But yeah. Oh, Mo Farah's armour was rather, I think. But anyway. But I should let you go and enjoy your dinner. What are you having in Austria? What's your dinner? It's going to be pretzels. What
they said most things is basically meat and cheese. Is that ham and cheese?
That sounds nice. Yeah, thick.
Standard.
Not good for running with, but good for filling your tummy up. So basically, you're going to come back heavier, slower, and less likely to run well at half marathon. Yeah, anyway.
Don't worry. I shuffle around. I'm going to be one of those heavy. I'm going to be one of those heavy rollers at the back. Anyone get caught by the sweeper, they're in trouble.
The guys in Cloud 259 just said to me that basically, with my time, I said to them I'm going to run 75. I think I'll run up a bit quicker than that now. But they said, you've got to run 130 and they will win. If you run slower than 130, they're going to beat us. You've got to run sub 130. Can you do it?
I don't know what you take me for. I don't know what you take me for. I've got two legs, you know. I've got two legs about.
Right, okay. Well, let's get going. Let's get training. And have a good rest of the trip. We'll speak again next week.
All right, see ya. Bye.
Bye.